His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. Therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. There's too much in this passage to unpack this morning, but I want us to think about habits. Developing good habits. Getting rid of those habits that are not so good in our life. There's a passage in 1 Peter that says, quoting from the book of Leviticus, "Be holy, for I am holy." Just as He has called you, be holy in all you do. God has given us all that we need to be holy. He has commanded it, and He has given the resources to do it. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23 and 24, Paul writes, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely. May your whole body, soul, and spirit be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then here's the promise: "He who has called you is faithful, and He will surely do it." God does not give us impossible commands. What He has commanded, He will enable us to do it. God does not command us to live in a certain way to make us feel terrible, so that we just can never reach that standard. We're all on a journey. We all make progress on this journey at different rates, at different stages. We're all somewhere on this journey. Some might be a little further along than others. The important thing, however, is that we are on the journey and that we're heading in the right direction. We may never be as holy as somebody else, you might say. But as long as we're going in the right direction, God will use us and bless us. Amen. We're going to all struggle with different things along the way. We're all different parts of this journey. Some may just be starting. And maybe your struggles are different than someone further along the journey. But we need to be on the journey in the right way. Verse 3 says it this way: "The knowledge of Him who called us to His own glory and excellence." That is our goal. He has called us, and so we are headed in that direction of His glory and excellence. God has given us promises, and the biggest one is that we can live in His presence forever. We can be in fellowship with our Creator. Through these promises, we can participate, as Peter says here, in the divine nature. That is a big promise. That means we can be remade into that image that God created us to be in. That image that has somehow been marred by sin. We can be remade into that image, that likeness, so that we can be in fellowship with the Holy God. In verse 4, we have some important choices, though, to make along this journey that we're on. It's actually one choice. It's an either-or choice. On the one hand, we can partake of the divine image, or we can partake in the corruption of the world. What choice will we make? This will set the direction of our life. Are we going to be heading towards that promise, that command, that goal of being remade into the image of God, the likeness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Or are we going to head in the direction of corruption and all of that?